Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 57, Access Reviews and Least Privilege Audits. Alice, this is one of those topics that sounds like paperwork, but I suspect there's more to it than that.
There is. Think of it this way. Every time you give someone access to a system, a login, an API key, permission to read case files, that's a door you've opened. Access reviews are the process of walking through the building every few months and checking which doors are still supposed to be open. Because what happens in practice is that people join projects, get access, the project ends, they move on, and nobody closes the door behind them.
So it's not about whether you gave access correctly at the start. It's about whether that access still makes sense 6 months later.
Exactly. This is what compliance frameworks call permission drift. You start with the right permissions, but over time they accumulate. A developer gets database access for a one-week migration. A paralegal joins a sensitive matter team temporarily. The work finishes, but the permissions stay. And the longer they stay, the more invisible they become. Nobody remembers granting them, and nobody thinks to revoke them.
Right. And this isn't just a hygiene issue. There's a compliance angle.
There's a significant compliance angle. SOC 2, which is the security audit framework we'll cover in depth in episode 60, requires periodic user access reviews under its trust services criteria. ISO 27001, the International Information Security Standard, has a specific control for reviewing access rights at defined intervals. If an auditor asks, "Show me evidence that you reviewed who has access to what in the last quarter," and you can't produce it, that's a finding. A material one.
So what does an access review actually look like in practice? Is someone just scrolling through a list of usernames?
That's what it looks like at companies that fail audits. A proper access review is structured. You go through every layer. First, user accounts. Are all active accounts tied to current people? You'd be surprised how often you find accounts for contractors who left months ago still sitting there, fully active. One study found that 40% of enterprise SaaS organizations had active accounts belonging to former employees.
40%? That's not a rounding error.
It's not. Second, you check role assignments. Does each person's access match their current job? Someone who was temporarily given admin access during an emergency should not still be an admin 3 months later. Third, and this is the one that everyone forgets, service accounts and API keys. These are automated accounts that systems use to talk to each other. They're created by a developer for a specific integration. The developer leaves, the integration gets replaced, but the API key is still active and still has access to your document store.
Yeah. Those are the ones that show up in breach reports, aren't they?
They are. A Colonial Pipeline attack in 2021, we've referenced it before, exploited a dormant VPN account. The employee had left. The account was never deactivated. No MFA on it. No access review had flagged it. One forgotten account shut down nearly half the fuel supply to the US East Coast.
So, how often should these reviews happen?
It depends on the account type. Privileged accounts, your admins, your database access, your infrastructure credentials, those should be reviewed monthly. Standard user accounts, quarterly is the accepted baseline. Service accounts and API keys, quarterly. And any emergency access or break glass account should be reviewed after every single use. But here's the key point. Reviews should also happen on events, not just on calendars. When someone changes roles, when a project ends, when a contractor's engagement finishes. Those are the moments when permissions become stale.
Right. Now, you mentioned offboarding. That feels like the most high-stakes version of this.
It is. When someone leaves, an employee, a contractor, a temporary consultant, every access point needs to be revoked within hours. Not next week, not at the end of the billing cycle. Hours. That means application accounts disabled, active sessions killed, API keys revoked, OAuth tokens canceled, shared credentials rotated, cloud access removed, code repository access stripped, and third-party tools, Slack, document sharing, project boards, all cleaned up. If you're building a legal SaaS platform, you need an offboarding checklist that covers every system, and you need to run it the same day the person departs.
That's a lot of places to check. Can you automate any of this?
You can and you should. Manual reviews, downloading a spreadsheet, email managers chasing people for confirmations. That doesn't scale past about 20 users. Modern identity platforms can automatically flag stale accounts, detect permissions that were granted but never used, and surface orphaned service accounts. They can also send managers a list of their team's permissions and require explicit approval or revocation with a full audit trail. The most advanced approach is something called just-in-time access. Instead of giving a developer permanent production database access, you give them a temporary grant that expires automatically in 2 hours. That eliminates the drift problem entirely.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Instead of cleaning up after the fact, you prevent the build-up in the first place.
Exactly. And the last piece that matters, especially for anyone preparing for a SOC 2 or ISO 27001 audit, is evidence. Conducting a review means nothing if you can't prove you did it. Auditors want to see your documented policy, timestamped records showing reviews happened on schedule, evidence that findings were remediated, and documented justifications for any exceptions. If a user retains access that seems broader than their role requires, there needs to be a written business reason and a date for the next review. Without that evidence trail, as far as the auditor is concerned, the review never happened.
So the review itself is a control, but the documentation of the review is the proof that the control works.
That's exactly right. And for legal SaaS specifically, where your platform holds case files, client communications, litigation strategy, the consequences of a dormant account being exploited aren't just a data breach. They're a potential breach of legal professional privilege. The stakes are higher than most SaaS categories, and the access review process needs to reflect that.
Next episode, insider threats and employee access. What happens when the person with legitimate credentials decides to use them in ways you didn't intend?
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistance. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.